gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So I'm going to take a little poll of you all at the beginning of the service. So please respond by raising your hand or otherwise telling me what your response is. So on these glorious late summer, early fall days when a beautiful 77-degree day stretches in front of you and your friend or partner or spouse or child gives you a list of chores to do, how many of you say, no way, I'm going fishing, golfing, or other things, go about with your day, and then later feel a little bad and actually do the chores? How many of you have that response? So the grumbly but ultimately compliant response. Okay. How many of you say, sure, honey, I'll do your chores, and then promptly recycle the list and go about doing what you want to do? The seemingly compliant and devious response. So clearly, Jesus knows a lot about us as human beings, right? When we are presented the opportunity to serve people that we love, we sometimes experience what we heard about in the Exodus lesson, this hardness of heart, this grumbling in our spirits that causes us to have a response that is not, sure, I'm happy to help, and you launch right in and do the chores that you've been asked to do. We sometimes have this hardness, this resistance in us that can be motivated from a variety of different sources. If the person who is asking you to help them has some degree of authority in your life, maybe triggers some fear in you, you might be inclined to say, sure, I'll do that, and then ignore the list so that you don't bear whatever consequences that you think might come if you just flat out said no. If the person in your life doesn't really have any particular fearful hold on you, but you're just feeling frustrated and maybe like you're asked to do a lot of things for this person over and over and over again, maybe you just are tired, you're having a kind of selfish day, then your response might be no. But ultimately, your love and your regard and your fondness for that person wins out, and you turn around and you actually do what you've been asked to do. The reasons behind our response is what Jesus was driving at when he tells the parable today. The broader context of how Jesus is teaching with the Pharisees and all that are gathered around him is actually incredibly pressing. Jesus has come into Jerusalem on a donkey with the crowds hailing him, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of David!" They are so excited to see Jesus. He comes to the temple and he's furious to see the money changers, flips over the tables. And in that context, he begins to teach. So it's no wonder that the Pharisees are feeling a bit threatened by this guy. The crowds are enamored with him. He's messing around with the structure of the temple, their financial livelihoods. And he's teaching in a way that's very challenging. Jesus tells them and tells us this parable, knowing that the Pharisees, the temple authorities, and indeed all human beings are prone to this hardness of heart, this resistance, this, I don't know, the power of habit, of selfishness in our lives. It's so fascinating to wonder, when Jesus tells this parable, what is it that changes the mind of that second son? When he says, no way, I'm not going to do it, what changes his mind? What softens his heart? What makes him compliant and obedient to his father? This is such a pressing question for Jesus at that time in his ministry because he has a sense that the temple authorities are turning against him and he will be dead. He has a sense of urgency in communicating to the people who are listening and to us that no matter what motivates that feeling of hardness in your heart, that resistance to responding when somebody asks you, somebody that you love asks you to do something, there is an urgent need for us as human beings to figure out a way to crack through that resistance. We have such great comfort. We see this lesson going all the way back to Moses, that for a long time, human beings have struggled with this sense of grumbling and hardness of heart. We're not alone in this. But that doesn't mean that we're let off the hook from deeply interrogating ourselves and saying, why do I have one of those responses? How can I soften myself, empty myself, as Paul teaches in the letter to the Philippians today? How can I empty myself in service? This is not a sense of emptying where you end up exhausted and literally crucified, as our Lord does. This is a sense of emptying where when somebody asks you to do something, the track that runs in your head is not instantly, I'm too tired, I'm sick of doing what other people want me to do, I don't think the garden needs to be weeded, I don't know why she wants me to clean out the garage, I. The sense of self-emptying is when we have a grounding in Christ, a grounding in faith, that allows us to say, this is not my preferred thing to do, but because I love my daughter, my son, my spouse, my friend, I'll help them. And then maybe I'll ask them to help me with something, something we're all so terrible about. Part of the reason we get resentful and frustrated is because some of us do feel like we give, and are terrible about saying, would somebody please help me? So the challenge in being self-emptying, in interrogating where that resistance comes from in you, is grounding yourself deeply in a right sense of self-love. A sense of self-love where you know that you are so deeply beloved of God, that God wants only goodness and wholeness and health and vitality for you. And a lot of that means that we need to get outside of those tracks that run in our head that focus only on us. So as you go through your lives and you're asked to do things by me, by your partners, your spouses, your family members, when you begin to feel that resistance, that hardness of heart shaping in you, what a beautiful invitation by our Lord Jesus Christ to look at that and to say, I wonder where this is coming from. Do I need more sleep? Have I not been good enough about asking about my own needs? Am I just in a particularly selfish mood today? Where is this resistance coming from? And then when we ask Jesus to help us soften that resistance, to give up ourselves, to replace in our minds a track that says, thank you, God, for my daughter who is making these demands of me. Thank you for the physical health to be able to help. Thank you for the time where I can give somebody in service. I don't have to work 3 manual labor jobs to support my family. Thank you for the opportunity to give of myself, to get out of myself, to let go of that boring track that can run in my head incessantly. Jesus' sense of urgency in the temple when he originally taught this parable is no less than the urgency that we should feel as we hear this lesson today. There is an abundant life of service and connection with other people waiting for us when we can feel our hearts soften, when we can relax a little bit and give ourselves more deeply in relationship to others. This is the incredible gift that is offered to us in these challenging lessons. And I hope that you will accept that gift and look deep into your own hearts when you feel that resistance tightening in you. And ask the Lord to open your hands and to open your lives in service, a right service, based in love of yourself, knowing that it is in giving ourselves away that we receive the ultimate gift of joy and hope in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.